Watch podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we're going to discuss the topic of timely and effective euthanasia on farms and ranches. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Dr. Becky Funk, who's a veterinarian based at the Great Plains Veterinary Education Center, as well as Carly Anderson, who's a PhD student in the Department of Animal Science at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Aaron, for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, Carly, this is the first time we've had you on the Beef Watch podcast, and you are working on a PhD there at the university with Dr. Ruth Y. Woody. Tell us a little bit about your research and why you're involved with it.
Sure. So my research has focused on captive bolt use with both on-farm euthanasia and in-plant stunning for both cattle and swine. And so we've been really looking at evaluating different placements and understanding what it takes to reach our target tissues within the brain and make sure we're providing those animals with a good death.
Dr. Becky Funk, you've been in practice and now you're at the Great Plains Veterinary Education Center. And so you've seen the importance of farm and ranch situations where euthanasia needs to be applied, having that done well. Frame our conversation a little bit for us today on why you see this as being important and where you want to go with it.
Certainly. So there's a couple of different situations where particularly on farm or on ranch euthanasia becomes an issue. One of those is those emergency situations, right? You go check pastures and you find a calf or a cow with a broken leg or some other type of injury. You know, you're working cattle and somebody jumps the fence and gets injured catastrophically, things like that. So that's kind of one end of the spectrum. The other end is, we all know those, especially on cow-calf operations, we can be dealing with some older animals or those animals that maybe we didn't get on the cull list last year or didn't make it into that cull sale. And so potentially those animals that maybe aren't fit at this time to go into commerce, and we need to make some timely decisions on the appropriateness of, you know, of sending them to the sale barn or sending them to salvage slaughter versus making that decision to euthanize and dispose of them on farm or on ranch. Really thinking about if we've got one of those older cows, it's maybe a body condition score 2, she's pretty thin, or her mobility is an issue, you know, or that lame bull that has a mobility issue. Those are ones that maybe we want to think about utilizing euthanasia instead of putting them into commerce.
Well, the term euthanasia is one that I think as we talk about this, you know, from a Latin perspective, it means good death. And so as we think about being stewards and good animal husbandry, it's thinking about how do we best care for this animal at this stage where it's at. And Dr. Funk, as we were getting on, you were just talking about that and thinking that through for yourself personally as a veterinarian and also with clients that you work with. Just share some of those thoughts as we think about caring for animals and then making a decision when euthanasia is the right thing.
So oftentimes in practice, you know, what I'm doing is framing that. And this is, you know, we've had that animal, you know, maybe we've had that cow or that bull and he or she has served us well for years, right? And this is really the last good thing we can do for that animal instead of putting them through the sale barn system, which we have data out of BQA audit that we think about that cow going to the sale barn. You know, that's kind of where our thought process ends. But the data shows that those cattle may be in the quote unquote in the system or in transit for hours to even days in some situations. So if they're not fit for that, the kindest thing that we can do for those cattle that have served us well over the years is to think about on-farm euthanasia.
So I think the other thing that we need to bring into account here as well is just thinking about representing our industry well and the product that we're putting through the system. And so this is a fine line and it's a judgment call at times. But as you said, there is a time and a situation where this animal is probably not fit to go to commerce. And so we need to do the right thing for our reputation and for the industry as a whole in not putting that animal into the system. As we think about placement and we think about using this on farm or ranch, we're going to focus primarily today on the firearm aspect. But I guess, Dr. Funk, share with us what are some other methods of euthanasia that might be implemented?
Yes. So the two primary things that folks think about as far as euthanasia are kind of what I loosely term either chemical euthanasia or physical euthanasia. So a firearm or a captive bolt, right? And chemical euthanasia is one that everybody kind of thinks of first. If you've had the experience of performing euthanasia on a pet in your veterinarian's office, and that's where, we give them the shot, right? And they basically go to sleep and don't wake up. The challenge with that in our production animal systems is one, volume of drug, right? We have to give them a pretty massive amount. And then secondarily, depending on how we're performing disposal of those carcasses post-euthanasia, we can run into some withdrawal issues. Most people are surprised to realize that even when we enter the rendering stream, we still have to think about withdrawal. And a lot of those chemical euthanasia drugs are drugs that are not broken down in the rendering process, and they do show up as a chemical residue in those post-rendering products. So we tend to shy away from that option in our production animal systems just because a lot of times we are accessing the rendering system for that.
Carly, as you think about the research you've been doing recently, looking at captive bolts in terms of a stunning tool in the packing plant, what are some things you're learning? What are some things you're looking at? And then thinking about how does that have application to this conversation?
Sure. So the first thing I think I want to do is just explain how a captive bolt works in case anyone isn't familiar with it. So it's essentially a rod that extends from the muzzle of the device, and that can either be pneumatic or air powered or fired by a powder cartridge similar to what you would put into a gun. And that rod shoots out at a really high velocity. So we're thinking upwards of 50 meters a second, and then enters the brain, and it causes either physical damage to the brain, concussive forces through shifting of the brain material, and then a buildup in pressure in that brain. So we're really seeing physical damage to the brain, similar to what we're going to see with a gunshot, like Dr. Funk described. And so what we've been looking at is specifically the tissues that that bolt or a bullet has to travel through in order to actually reach the brain. And so our target is the brain because that's what's controlling our heartbeat and our breathing cycles. But within the brain, there's a structure in cattle that's about the size of a quarter called the thalamus. And we really care about hitting that because that's really what controls the consciousness in the animal because it serves as a connection between the lower parts of the brain and the upper parts of the brain. So we want to be selecting placements that have a good likelihood of targeting that structure.
So anatomically, as we think about, we're talking about beef cattle today, and we're talking about the brain, where does that lie in the brain structure?
Sure. So it's kind of located in the middle of the brain. So if you were to take a cow head and split it directly down the middle, like between the eyes, you would find it about right in the middle of the brain. So if you think of where the spinal cord comes up, and you can almost make like a fist with your hand, if you think about the arm being the brain stem, it's right where your fist would be at that point on the head. So it's really difficult to describe where it's located without having a visual representation, but kind of in the middle of the brain and not close to the outer surface where the cranium is another key point with that location.
So there are some guidelines by the AVMA on physical euthanasia. Tell us about what are some things we need to understand in terms of the data and research that's out there on this. And Carly, you're working on this as well. But as we think about euthanasia on the farm or ranch, how can we take some of those recommended practices, some of the work you're doing, Carly, and apply that to this situation?
Sure. So I think the first thing with that is that because we're targeting the brain, which is a relatively small structure within the head, and then our specific goal, like I said, is about the size of a quarter, having correct placement is really important. So there's a variety of placements that exist out there, but the one that's consistent across pretty much all of the guidelines, including the AVMA and American Association of Bovine Practitioners, is one where you make two imaginary lines and you shoot at the intersection of those lines. And so the lines are drawn from the outer corner of the eye to the base of the opposite horn, or where the horn would be in animals that are pulled or have been dehorned. And with that placement, there's a couple of key components. The first is that we're not drawing lines to the ears. That's going to put us at a placement that's too low, and we might actually miss the brain altogether. The second is that we're not drawing those lines from the inner corner of the eye. So, it might not seem like there's a very big difference between the inner and outer corner of the eye, but if we use the outer corner of the eye, we're going to have a placement that's more appropriate for potentially targeting that thalamus, as well as a better likelihood of hitting the brain.
So, Dr. Funk, now let's talk about thinking about tools and what's appropriate in use here. And not many operations are going to have a captive bolt tool on hand. As we think about then the firearm part of this, what are some things we need to think through and remember in using that as a tool to administer euthanasia?
Yeah, certainly we don't expect most of our operations to have captive bolts on site, or maybe not even have access to that tool. But I think it's important to keep in mind that was a great description of what our goals are. And so keeping in mind, even if we're using a firearm instead of a captive bolt, that all of our goals are the same. And a lot of times euthanasia is performed, you may not have access to your vet. They may be away, far away. You may have, like I said, that cow you found in pasture that needs to be euthanized now because she's suffering. And so the thing I most recommend is we need to be aware of the firearm choice we're using, right? And it certainly needs to be large enough to do the job. We need to have appropriate muzzle velocity. And we may need to think about how to get appropriately close to that animal. This isn't a long range shot that we're taking. We need to be within several feet, if possible, to, no more than maybe a pickup length away to get good, effective shot placement and effective euthanasia. So that's the first thing to keep in mind is figuring out a way to get close enough to that animal to perform euthanasia. And then when we start to think about firearm selection, we really do probably need to go bigger than what we think we should. People tend to reach for that 22 because a lot of times that's what they carry or what they have easy access to. But in all honesty, for adult cattle, that's probably not the best option. So you can certainly talk to your veterinarian about what they prefer. They probably have some recommendations for things like, shotgun use with heavy shot loads or larger handgun loads, things like that. So the other thing to keep in mind, when we're talking about field euthanasia is the safety of operators, right? And that's another reason that I don't tend to reach for that 22 because on these adult cattle, ricochet is a very real risk. So we want to make sure we're not getting that and putting either operators or other cattle at risk in the area.
Carly, anything you would add to that as you think about your experience with captive bolt in a harvest facility, and then of thinking about that in terms of application in the field?
Yeah, so a couple of things come to mind. The first is that you want to be, like Dr. Funk said, within at least a pickup length, but really, if you can be within that 2 to foot range of distance away from the cow, you're probably going to be set up to one, have more muzzle velocity actually impacting the skull, which is important. But then the closer you are, the more accurate you can get to that specific placement where we're targeting a small structure. The other piece is if you have any way to restrain the animal, that's also going to be advantageous because then you're dealing with a still head. So really we're focused on restraining the head so the animal can't be moving their head side to side or up and down. Because if you're at a far distance, you can't control what the animal does if there's not head restraint once you pull the trigger.
What are some other things to be aware of and think through as we think about good death, euthanizing the animal, putting it down? What are some other principles that we need to think through and apply?
Sure. So the first thing I think is it's really important as soon as that animal drops, well, the animal dropping is the first thing to look for. So we want to check to make sure that we first rendered that animal immediately unconscious with our shot. So there are a few things we can look for with that. The first is eye reflexes, and we can do that by either touching the eye of the animal, going and shining a flashlight in the animal, and essentially you don't want to see any eye movement that with that. You just want to see a blank stare, no blinking. The second is watching for rhythmic breathing. So with that, we really want to see full inhale, exhale cycles. Once we've shot an animal, we don't want to see any rhythmic breathing. It's okay if they exert some of the air that has been in their lungs because with post-shot muscle contractions, that might occur. And then the last thing we really want to monitor for is making sure that animal doesn't have a heartbeat before we walk away from the situation or move that animal. And when we think about the loss of heartbeat, it's important to recognize that that can sometimes take upwards of 10 or 15 minutes. So monitoring to make sure those animals are truly dead, as defined by the loss of heartbeat, and not just in a state of unconsciousness where they could potentially regain consciousness and then still be alive.
Dr. Funk, anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I think the only other thing I would add in the field, all of those things are excellent, but the other thing we should see is no attempt to right itself by that animal. And the other thing I would encourage producers to think about is, our goal is to do this 100% right 100% of the time and have it be instantaneous and final. But the reality of it is, in field conditions with unpredictable things like head movement, that may not happen. And we should be prepared to follow up with either a secondary shot or a secondary method. Most producers are simply going to need to follow up with a secondary shot to make sure we get that as quickly as possible, right? If something should go unplanned in an unplanned manner. So that's important to think about too, is when I approached field euthanasia in practice, I always carried, three or four rounds with me, right? My expectation was is that I would only need one, but I certainly didn't want to have to run back to the pickup and dig around in my rifle box to find the next one. So I think that's also important for producers to keep in mind.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
I think from my perspective, the important thing is that producers, if you're uncomfortable with this, certainly have a conversation with your veterinarian and get some pointers or tips. And even though none of us want to perform euthanasia, it's certainly a skill that when we need to be able to do it, it's very important for the suffering of that animal and ending that suffering. So that would be my takeaway is even though you never want to have to do this, be prepared to if you need to.
Yeah, I think those are really good points. The one thing I would suggest is because you don't have a lot of opportunities to practice euthanasia, and we do want to get it right on that first time, if you have a local meat plant that you could go visit and maybe ask them to show you where they're stunning their cows and if they would split a head down the middle so you can physically see where that brain is actually located, that can be really helpful in visualizing where the brain is in the head of that animal and where to place the shot, whether you're in that ideal 2 to 3 foot range or a little bit further away.
Well, and as you both said, there's some good resources online that are available as well. And so that's something that many folks can go look at. And as you well described, drawing the X from the corner of the eye, the back corner to the where the horn placement would be or either side of the pole. And then just seeing some drawings, I think, can be helpful as well to visualize where do we want to make sure we have placement as we think about putting that shot. The other thing that comes to mind for me is we buy equipment all the time and thinking about caring for cattle. And so this might be a situation where you need to purposefully purchase a firearm with the right load to accomplish this goal. And as you said, Dr. Funk, as we think about, as we're dealing with cattle, as we're thinking about bulls and things like that, if you were going hunting, you would not take a 22 rifle to bring down an elk. And so we want to make sure that we have the appropriate size and velocity, load size to effectively render that animal senseless quickly. And so being purposeful about that, thinking that through, I think would be the other thing that came to mind for me in our conversation as well. Well, thanks again for joining me today, and I appreciate your working on this. Not a fun topic, but as we think about good animal husbandry, one that we want to do well in caring for our animals. Well, for more information on the topic that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, I would encourage you to visit some of the websites, different organizations that were discussed here. The AVMA has a resource on this, as well as the Bovine Practitioners website. Would encourage you to go visit both of those in terms of thinking about using this in the field.